He started changing himself, forgave my sin. He pardoned my sin. He cleared my record. And this Monday, I got to go to Lincoln to the Capitol building, and I stood before the governor and the general, the attorney general this week. The Secretary of State wasn't able to be there, but I got to plead my case. And I'd been praying, Lord, if you give opportunity, I'll tell them about you this week. And I stood before the governor and the board, the pardon board this week, and I told them it was Jesus Christ who took my life many years ago and changed me, that that life is a life I don't know anymore. And they said, did you go to treatment? I said, yeah, I went to 4 of them. In fact, I lied my way through several. Sorry. I told the truth up there. I had to. I put my hand up and all that. You know what I mean? But I said, because it was Jesus Christ who took my life. Do you know that today? But I stood there that day, and you know what they did? They said, Mr. Bernie, today we are pardoning you of all your crimes in the state of Nebraska. You know what they did? They wiped my slate clean. Someday, we can stand before the Father because Jesus wipes our slate clean by believing in him. Amen this morning. What a picture today, and we celebrate that today. Let's go to the Lord this morning in prayer. Father, we bless you today. Thank you that you freely pardon all who would turn to you. As guilty as we are, Lord, you throw it all off to the side and you say, I will remember your sins no more. I will cast them as far as the east is from the west. You freely pardon, Lord, and we thank you for that truth. We thank you we can stand before you in confidence in Jesus Christ and what he has done on our behalf. Thank you, Lord. We praise you today. We thank you for these children who are up here this morning. We pray for their life today. We pray for their hearts. We pray that their faith would be made their own and they would be steadfast, immovable in their life, Lord, in the truth of Jesus Christ. We pray you would just win that battle of their heart, Lord God. We pray for them. We pray for the students, the youth. We love you today for that, Lord. Thank you. We pray for those. We have a list. We pray for Nick. We continue to lift Nick and his family up to you. Pray for a young man named Max this morning who was in a car wreck last week. We pray for him. We pray for healing. We continue to pray for Paul, his son Jason, for Paula Kroon, and for many others here, Lord, that Bev Kimenaugh. And we bring it to you, Lord, because we know you can do something. And you're the one with a mighty hand. You're the one who can do all things, Lord. And we just turn our request to you today. Thank you again for all you do. And we pray for ears to hear this morning as we open your word. And we thank you for the Eddy family being with us. And we bless you this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
All righty, man, that was a lot of fun, right? Sorry, I don't have any costumes or fun beards or anything like that. That was awesome, kids. Thanks for doing that. Can we give them a hand again? That's awesome. That's awesome. And it really segues well into what we're going to talk about today, too. We've been in this series. It's called Faith Over Fear. We're looking at different perspectives of people in the Christmas story. So some people who sat around this manger that first Christmas. And today we're talking about Mary, and we're looking specifically at her 3 responses she had in the book of Luke, chapter 1. We'll start in verse 26. If you've got your Bible, if you've got a cell phone that can look this up, you can look at it with me. If not, you can just listen. We'll start in verse 26, though, of Luke 1. And I'm going to read here until verse 38. So we'll start verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Would you pray with me as we encounter God in his word today? Heavenly Father, God, I am so grateful to you that even through the mouths of kids, you speak your truth. God, I pray that we're listening. As we come to your word today, God, in the Bible, would we be open to what your Spirit would have for us? No matter where we're at in this journey, we may not even believe that there's such a thing as God. There might be people here, God, who don't have a personal relationship with you. That's okay. I'm glad they're here. I hope they get something from this. And like Sonny was talking about, there is power to transform lives in the pages of this book, but only through the power and the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for meeting us here in this place. We believe you are here in our midst. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. So we've got some really interesting things here in the book of Luke. And if you know me, when I jump into the middle of a book, I like to tell you just a little bit about it. Because it's like, where am I at? What are we talking about? Obviously, this whole thing is called the Bible, but there's 66 separate books in here. One of them is called the Gospel According to Luke. Now note, sometimes we'll say this is Luke's gospel. He's not telling a new story. This is the age-old story, the good news about this one person, Jesus Christ. But let's take a peek. Just wander up with your eyes, if you're looking at the page here in your Bible, back at verse 1 of chapter 1. Look at the first four verses here, because this gets at who's writing the book and who he's writing to, and it's interesting even for our passage here today. So let's start verse 1 of the book here in Luke. Luke writes, "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who were from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus," get this, "that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught." Man, verse 4 is really the clincher. Why is he writing this down? Luke knew there were other accounts of the gospel already out there. Most likely Mark was the first gospel account written. Most likely Matthew was the second gospel account written. So Luke already had heard these things. And yet he was thinking in his mind, now he's a doctor as well, we get that from the book of Colossians. He might have even been Paul's personal physician, because he seemed to be traveling a lot with the Apostle Paul as he's wandering around. So here's this doctor, and if you know doctors, if you're familiar with the healthcare field, you have got to be very detail-oriented. If you're going to be, especially surgeons, or you make one small miscalculation, and this will deeply impact this person's life that you're trying to help. So doctors really have a way sometimes of nailing down the details, and I think that's what Luke is doing for us too, and why it's included in our Bible. Now note that this is specifically addressed to one person. His name is Theophilus. We see this in verse 3. This is interesting because he probably was not Jewish. Theophilus is a Greek name. He was probably a Gentile. And yet Luke thought it was important enough. Now, he was most likely a leader, somebody with some influence, that Luke said, I want you to know with absolute certainty, this isn't just a story. The Christmas story is not just something fun that we think about this time of year. It really happened. You can know it's true. Luke's staking his whole claim on that fact. So let's dig in here. There's some context here in the word itself, right? Looking at verses 5 through 25 in chapter 1 there, there's this story about John the Baptist and how the angel Gabriel comes to his parents, Zechariah, who's a priest, somebody who basically goes before God for the rest of the people of Israel and atones for their sin and meets with God where other people couldn't. And then also his wife, Elizabeth. And that's kind of the story that gets into then the angel Gabriel meeting with Mary, but it bookends it. Because if you look down at verse 39, as soon as Mary's done talking with the angel, she goes to see Elizabeth. And it's confirmation of the truth of what the angel just told her. So there's this theme of preparation. There's this theme of fulfilling prophecy, and it's buried here in the pages of Scripture. I love that. I love that. Because sometimes when things don't make sense, we just need to keep reading. Or we need to go, what happened just before that? You don't need somebody like me to tell you what this book means. God does that. He's true to his word. We can know with certainty the things we've been taught. Okay, let's take a peek at our actual passage here, starting in verse 26, and I'll read you the first couple verses here again. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So can you kind of see what Dr. Luke is doing here? He's setting the stage. He's got the props up, right? He says, okay, so in the sixth month is the time. Now, that's a specific reference. We're going to get back to that because it's explained later. Sometimes you just got to keep reading. But it says, the angel Gabriel, he was sent from God. So it's this messenger directly from God to a city in this region called Galilee, specifically to a town named Nazareth. So this is the where. But then we get who. Gabriel was sent. Who was he sent to? To a virgin, unnamed at that point, betrothed to a man. So betrothed is just like she's going to be married to this guy. She's pledged to be married to him. This man's name is Joseph, and he was of the house of David. We talked about this a little bit last week, but it's really important to note that both Joseph and Mary can trace their lineage all the way back to King David and all the way back to Father Abraham. Because that's what a good chunk of this Bible is, Old Testament, right? We still see Jesus, the person of Jesus, in these pages, but he's prophesied. It's a coming thing. Hey, in the future, and for some of these guys talking, the prophets in the Old Testament, hundreds of years in the future, long time from now, God will fulfill his promise by bringing a king in the line of the great King David who unified his people and he will save his people from their sins. Remember we talked about the name of Jesus last week? Jesus means the Lord is salvation. God saves, and he saves sometimes through a specific person, a specific circumstance, and the greatest example of that is Jesus and his death on a cross. We celebrate that even at Christmas when we're remembering when he first came to earth. And it says, the virgin's name was Mary. Now, that's who we're going to focus on today. She has three different responses to this angel talking to her, and I want us to really make note of it. Because what we're going to draw from this text today is that we can bring God our emotions. We can bring God our questions, but ultimately we do need to respond in faith. Okay, I'm going to repeat that because that's the big idea for this passage today. Luke 1, 26 through 38. We can bring God our emotions. That's okay. We can bring God our questions. It's all right to ask, why, God? But then ultimately, we do need to respond in faith. Let's look at what the angel says to her. This is verse 28. And he came to her, that's the angel Gabriel, came to this virgin Mary and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Now listen to what Mary says. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Do you ever get like a text from somebody or a card from somebody? It's a little cryptic. And you're like, somebody shoots you a text and they say, hey, give me a call when you're free. And maybe it's your boss. And you're like, oh, no. Oh, no. Give them a call. I don't know if that's a... And sometimes your mind goes to like the worst possible place. Like, am I getting fired? What happened? I hope nobody's, checking. That's what Mary did too. Like, she goes to this negative place, and it says she's greatly troubled. The word is perplexed. She's confused. So many people in Scripture, when they see an angel, I mean, think of the shepherds, right? The kids acting it out for us. They're terrified. This angel that comes down, like, it's not typically just looks like another person. Usually they're massive and they're bright and you can clearly see that's a messenger that was in the near presence of God himself. Pretty scary thing. Mary's not scared of the angel. At least that's not what it says here. What does it say? She's greatly troubled at what? At the saying. What he said. He just greeted her, but what did he actually say? He said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. You know, it's almost like she was just kind of curious, didn't really understand what's going on. Wait a minute, I'm this no-name virgin who happens to live in Nazareth, and here I have a messenger from God that's basically putting me up on this pedestal. Oh, favored one, God is with you. And she's like, what is going on? Like, if that was me, I'd be really confused too. So I definitely don't blame her for that. But remember, that's the first part of our big idea today. We can bring our emotions to God. It's okay to be confused. Sometimes you have something that you think would be so clear. An angel of God standing right in front of Mary saying, oh, favored one, God is with you. And yet she's confused by it, and it's okay. But keep reading because the angel explains what's going on, right? She was confused about the greeting, verse 30. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Stop there for a second. This is going into our series here, right? Choosing faith over fear. Now, it's really important to know who the faith is in. Right? Because if I'm driving a car down the road, I feel like, okay, I'm trusting myself to drive this car correctly. And I'm trusting every aspect of this vehicle to keep working. But if I'm giving over my life to Christ, if I'm allowing him to transform me, suddenly I'm not in the driver's seat anymore. I'm trusting that God knows better how to drive the vehicle of my life forward in the right way than I do. And sometimes we say, oh, I'm in the passenger seat or something. I'm giving God some input in my life. I mean, half the time I feel like I'm in the trunk. I can't see anything. I'm buried back there, and God's just driving me down the road, and I'm hoping for the best, and I'm hanging on. Maybe you feel like that from time to time. Sometimes that's what faith looks like, though. You trust in the character of God. You trust in the credentials of the one driving, and you say, I'm choosing to believe in him as opposed to giving in to my fear that I don't know what's going on. Okay, the angel says, don't be afraid. You found favor. So, okay, it's a good thing. All right, maybe Mary's kind of like, okay, we'll see about this. Then he says something really interesting, verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Now he explains who Jesus will be. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. It's like a pastor that gets going, and he's excited, and oh, he's going to reign, and Mary's still stuck on the first part, though. Did you catch that? You're going to have a baby, Mary. She's like, wait a minute. I've never been with a man. I'm a virgin. This doesn't make sense to me. Listen to her question here, verse 34. And Mary said to the angel, what probably any of us might have said in a similar situation, how will this be since I am a virgin? Now remember our big idea. We can bring our emotions to God. We can bring our questions to God. It's okay to ask why. It's okay to ask, how will this be? God, it doesn't make sense. She has an angel of God standing in front of her, and she doesn't question who is this angel. She's questioning, what is he talking about? This doesn't make sense to me. Now that's an important distinction, because if you look back, and I briefly had mentioned it, but if you look back to Zechariah, so this is John the Baptist's father, earlier in the chapter, the same angel, Gabriel, is speaking to him, and he says something equally as challenging to believe. He says, hey, Zechariah, you know how you're super old, dude, and how your wife is really old, too? You guys are going to have a baby. And his wife had been barren. Forever. She'd never had a baby. And that was always a point of contention. And they had prayed about it. They had agonized over it. And eventually they had just kind of made their peace. I guess somehow God is punishing us and we're just not going to have a baby. And yet Zechariah is the priest. He's standing before God. And the same angel Gabriel meets him in the tabernacle there. And let's see if I can grab this real quick. The angel is talking about who his son will be, that he would prepare the way of the Lord. That's who John the Baptist would be. The preparation, the prophet to come before. But look at verse 18 just for a second. Luke 1, 18. Here's Zechariah's question. See if you can discern the difference between his question and Mary's question in our passage. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. There's a distinction here. How shall I know this? He's calling into question the character of the messenger. What Mary was asking in our passage when she said, how will this be? She's just wondering about the mechanics of the miracle. There's a difference there. You're not saying, God, I don't think you can do this. I'm old. My wife's old. This has never happened to us before. Mary's saying, how will this be? I'm a virgin. Please enlighten me on how you will bring about this miracle. I love that, though, because sometimes in the middle of our relationship with God, we don't have all the answers. At least in my own life, it feels like more than half of the time, I don't know what's going on. Maybe you are more Christian than me or whatever, and you've got it figured out. You've got things like, I feel like a good chunk of the time, I'm coming to God and I'm saying, God, I don't understand what's happening here. Please, can you explain it to me? It's okay to have questions for God. It's okay to feel greatly disturbed like Mary did. But remember that we need to ultimately land on faith, trusting the person and the character and the work of Christ. How will this be, Mary said, since I am a virgin? Look at what the angel says, because this is a crazy thing. A virgin getting pregnant never happened. Verse 35, this is Gabriel, and the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Stop there for a second. It's really interesting because sometimes people who dig into Scripture, you know, they call them theologians or scholars or whatever you want to say, they want to tear this apart. And they want to say, how exactly is this working, and get at the biology of it or something. I don't think the angel's talking about that. I think he literally is saying, God will work this out. And there's a lot of miracles that happen in the gospel accounts in particular. And sometimes we want to get really specific into the nitty-gritty. How did Jesus multiply 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed 5,000 men and a bunch of other women and children? That doesn't make sense. It's okay. It's not meant to make sense. Sometimes that's where faith kicks in. Now, God doesn't say, just trust me blindly and I'll never give you any evidence. If he did that, it would never make sense. Any of us would have a hard time. Here, take the steering wheel of my car if you don't even know if that person is a licensed driver. Here, go ahead, drive down the road. You may never have done this before, but I'm hoping for the best. First, you need to know the character of God in order to feel confident in giving up the reins of your life. And it feels like this is my life. I get to live this, until you realize that driver, he's the one that made you. And he made you for a purpose. He brought you here to this place this morning for a purpose. Maybe he's talking to you even now through his word. Sometimes we just need to take a moment and listen. Sometimes I need to just take a moment and listen. Because this is a crazy thing. The angel is telling Mary, a miracle will happen. You'll not be with a man, but then you will be pregnant. And this is before IVF and any of that stuff. Don't go there. Don't go there. God is literally working a miracle. The Son of God would be born through a virgin. And if you were here last week, you saw some of how that is so incredibly against the culture of the day. Mary being pregnant while she is pledged to be married to Joseph, she deserved to be killed, to be stoned for her adultery. And then Joseph saying, no, I'm going to take her anyways. I'm not going to divorce her and walk away and leave her alone in this situation. I'm going to step into this. That demonstrated his faith over fear. That showed us last week how we can listen to what God is saying and then do what he tells us. And it feeds directly into what we're talking about here. We can bring our emotions to God. We can bring our questions to God. That's fine. But ultimately, we do need to land on faith. There are going to be things we can't explain. Even people like me, I've spent years of my life digging into this book in different languages and all these things. That doesn't make me any better than you. That doesn't make me any different than anybody else. I still have questions. Sometimes the more you know, the less you know, if that makes any sense. Let's keep going, though, in our passage here, because this child is not ordinary. It says he'll be called Holy, the Son of God. This is Jesus. Now, he proves it. He gives some proof here, the angel Gabriel. Verse 36, he says, "And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the 6th month with her who was called barren." Now, don't miss verse 37, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Nothing will be impossible with God. Does that mean every time I pray, God answers it exactly how I want. Does it mean that? Nothing's impossible, God. Sometimes people go to verses like this. I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All right, I'm going to leap a building in a single bound. It says it in the Word. Nothing is impossible with God. Okay, I guess I can do anything. All healing will occur. All wars will cease. Everything that I want will happen. Why does that not happen? Because I hate to break it to you. You're not God. Neither am I. So I'm lumping myself. We're not God. We don't understand everything that's going on. This world is fallen. It's sinful. It's broken. It's corroded. It's decaying. It's wasting away. Yet God has a good plan. In sending his son Jesus to this earth, he gave us a way out. He said, you don't have to waste away. You don't have to live in death any longer. You don't have to be headed to an ultimate separation from a holy God. He said, if you believe in my son Jesus, that he came to this earth as a baby in a manger, that he lived a perfect life, and then that he died on a cross, kind of like this one over here in the corner. He died on a cross. God dying for you. He loved you that much. If you believe that, if you say, Jesus, you saved me from my sin, but not just that you're my Savior, God, you're my Lord. You get the steering wheel of my life. You get to make the decisions. And you belong then with him forever in heaven one day. I hope everybody in here is going to be there in heaven because it's going to be awesome. That's what we're meant for. God made us for his glory, his purpose. Your life is not your own, the Apostle Paul says. You're bought at a price. But it's okay to bring our emotions to God. It's okay to bring our questions to him. Ultimately land on faith. He says, nothing will be impossible with God. I'm going to encourage you this morning, if you're praying over something, if you're thinking about something and it just isn't happening, keep praying. There's a parable in Scripture about this persistent widow and this unjust judge, and it's kind of a weird story, really, that Jesus tells. But ultimately, it's explained. The point of the parable is to keep praying. Don't give up. Don't give up because you can't see what's down the road. It's like that silly example. You know, you might be in the trunk of the car, but Jesus is driving. If you are in Christ, you're going the right way. It may not feel right. You may in your head go, wait a minute, I know this part of town. I think Siri told me to turn your phone off. You know, listen to Jesus. He's got a plan. It doesn't always make sense in the middle. It's like if you see a single puzzle piece sitting there on the ground. Rarely are you going to be able to tell what the picture is, right? I don't know if you guys do puzzles, but usually when I do a puzzle at my house, apparently I'm an old lady or something now, I do puzzles, my wife will come up and help me, and she goes, oh, look, I did it. Do like one puzzle piece and walk away. I'm like, thanks for your help, babe. A single puzzle piece, though, is often our perspective. I don't want my puzzle piece of perspective to color everything because I don't know what it's supposed to be. That's God. That's his plan, his place. If I knew it all, I'd be God. And frankly, I don't want to be driving that car. I don't want to be making all these plans and all these. A lot of people then blame you for stuff that goes wrong. It's almost like being a parent sometimes. That's where faith comes in, though. Keep praying. Keep thinking about these things. Keep desiring right things. But please, please don't come back to scriptures like this. Hey, it says nothing will be impossible with God. I guess there's not a God because he didn't answer my prayer how I wanted it to be answered. Faulty logic. If there is a God, he doesn't answer to anyone. That's a hard truth. And it doesn't really make sense if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. And I get that. I'm man enough to say I understand that. But I will also say there's better evidence for this, all of this being true, than anything else. If I'm going to base my life on anything, I want to base it on the best possible evidence. That's that Jesus Christ came to this earth. It was real. He lived and he died, and people witnessed that. People who didn't believe witnessed that. And then they saw him later when he was resurrected, alive after death. What? The best evidence is for that. Okay, let's finish this out though, because Mary has one final response that is so powerful. And my prayer is that we, when we are confronted with God and his plan and his will for our lives, would be able to echo these words. Verse 38, and Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. She didn't start here. She didn't start by saying, "There's an angel. I'm the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." She started with being perplexed. She started with just trying to determine, what is he talking about? And it continued with asking the question, how is this miracle going to happen? I'm a virgin. How am I supposed to be pregnant? But then it finished with, "I am the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." She believed. That's the faith that we can have. That's the faith I would encourage in you. This is faith over fear. This is something where if you trust God and his plan, suddenly circumstances, things that happen in our world, even things that happen directly to us, they don't sting in quite the same way. It doesn't mean you're not going to hurt. It doesn't mean you're not going to have emotion and questions and doubts and worries and fears. All those things are normal, and God is okay with all of that. But what he says at the end of the day is, trust me. I made you. I loved you enough to send my son to die on the cross for you. Not just for all those church people who do all that. For you. For you. He wants to change your life. And if you have a personal relationship with Jesus, he wants to keep changing your life. It doesn't stop when you enter into a relationship with him. The transformation of the Spirit is a consistent thing, because frankly, sin is ever present. It just lurks at the door. It hangs out there knocking. Hey, you want to turn away from God yet? Hey, you want to disobey yet? You want to be prideful again? You want to be selfish? Hey, it's a lot of fun. Constantly. So we need to be disciplined. That's what it means to be getting into the Word. That's what it means to be coming to church on a Sunday. Hopefully you don't do this just to make me feel better or make yourself feel better or sing some songs you know. Those are great. Hopefully you do this because you know your relationship with God needs it. It's encouragement. It's something that we can encourage each other. Maybe you serve here. You walk with God consistently. So that's my prayer for you. If you have a relationship with Jesus, awesome. Keep going. You can ask your questions. You can bring your emotions to God, but ultimately, please trust him, the character of God driving the car. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, probably 85 to 90% of what I said made no sense. And I will say thank you for hanging out and not just walking out the door. But if that's the case, I'd love to talk with you. I know Sonny would. There's a lot of us in here that our lives have been transformed by the good news of Jesus Christ. We're not trying to sell something or get crazy. We're just trying to tell you, this is what helped me. We'd love to see it help you too. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, God, you show up so consistently through your word. And I'm grateful, Lord, that you've brought each of us here in this place this morning. Lord, I pray that in the craziness of this season, we would continue to come back to that truth, that you are who you say you are, Jesus. You are the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God the Father but through you, Jesus. Thanks for reminders like these kids this morning, and they'll be coming back up and leading us in song, and that's awesome, God. I love that we can celebrate the birth of Jesus together. I hope that it doesn't stop there, though, but we let it change us. The fact that you came to this earth, you are God with us. You gave us an opportunity to have a real relationship with the one who made us and loves us. That's you, God. And help us to, even though we can bring our questions and our emotions and everything before you, God, help us to land on faith, responding that way, choosing that instead of fear. And it's in the name of your son, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Awesome. Very cute. Hey, thanks so much for coming, church. And I pray that we would take this joy to the world. We are dismissed.